Hi everyone, welcome back to the podcast Sunset People. My name is Thu and I'm your host today. Usually you guys may know me from the Vietnamese podcast, but today I'm gonna do something quite new because we have a really interesting topic and I believe it on the mind of many people, especially university students like you and me, which is how to navigating an internship during your university journey. And joining with me today is Dila, also known as Tam, our very core member. She often joins the podcast as the host, but today I invite her to be my guest. But first, thank you, Dila, for being my guest, and thank you for spending your time on the weekend to make this episode happen. I know it's supposed to be not work today. Yeah, so really thank you. I really appreciate that. And the reason why, yeah, Stella being my guest, because she currently moving to an island for her internship. And now we're doing the podcast through Zoom. So how's the life? How are you doing?
I was doing good. That's just a very good introduction. I was like, it's actually very weird for me because like, yeah, just like what Sandra to say, I used to be the host, but right now when I'm like, you know, on the flip side of like me being the one who being interviewed, I'm actually very excited. So yeah, brief introduction again. Hi everyone, my name is Stella, and then you guys, you know, if you still remember me, I often do host podcasts for Gen Z People channel with Sandra and also Graf and other members of our team. So yep, today, like what Sarah just say, we have a very interesting conversations, you know, about me having like a co-op job in Victoria Island. So previously we all live in Vancouver, right? So yeah, I was like, maybe I should take some adventures here. So that's me trying to apply for the international co-op, which is like way too hard because like they kind of evaluate on your, you know, like your background of being like, you know, do you have any like, you know, domestic co-op experiences before? So they kind of ask you to have that before you can go internationally. So that's me right now doing something else, like in Canada, but like still not like, you know, out of Vancouver. So yeah, here we are.
I think like it's still like really exciting because you move to a new place, you meet new people. And also that's why I'm really excited to hear about your experience today. I really want to know about your life, like your working life. So can you share a little bit about what you are doing as well as your position within your internship?
Yeah, sure. Definitely very different from my study experiences in SFU because before it's all about, you know, classroom wise, but right now when I actually take the things that I learned from classroom and also from extracurricular, I have my first co-op term in BCI, which is an investment management company in has a headquarter in Victoria, BC. So I'm actually very glad that I picked this company to be my very first co-op internships because I feel like I really kind of immerse myself well to be in like my teams right now. And so far what I'm doing for my team in BCI would just be, you know, doing some like outreaching work. For example, like if you have a community program going on for intern employees, that would be me and all the teammates where we make like a volunteer program for them and kind of, you know, how to engage everyone to use their 14 paid hours. So if you guys know about that, normally in each company they have to kind of like a volunteer hours that could be paid off your, you know, normal work hours. So that would be us having like 14 paid hours annually to go out and volunteer.
Yeah, that's the first time I hear about this. And
yeah,
I also curious, like, do you know what is the difference between co-op and internship? Because usually I think the definition between them kind of mix together.
That's actually a very good point to bring out. I think for me, it's also my first time to realize that there would be a difference between co-op students and interns. So co-op student is that is applying when you are doing co-op during your, you know, university degree, and then intern would be counting more toward after you graduate. So like, for example, if you're like in the last term before you graduating, or like you already finished your studying, you just wait for your graduation event. So that would be when they would count that at interns, and you actually don't have to pay for co-op fee But when you're like in co-op program like me, each semester would be count at one co-op term where you have to pay for the co-op tuition fee, but that would be also, count toward your credit for graduation.
Yeah,
So
that's
it's
really,
actually different.
yeah, just a little bit different, and it's also a good point to point out, what's the difference between them. So, can I ask, like, what inspired you to start searching for an internship during your second years of university? Because I believe it's quite early to most of university students to like start looking for an internship during your second years.
I actually shared with you Sandra before. I think we talk a lot because we all have like a part-time job beside our studying in SP, right? Or like FSC. So you like we're on in the same systems. But we actually talk about that a lot, like whether or not we should have more, like just like technical work, like practical work experiences beside our studying or not. Like is that very early? But I think like it's always very beneficial if we have like a real world experiences before we actually graduate, because then we can talk about that more during our interview with the interviewers, like whether or not we are like a good fit for the company, and we actually can learn about corporate work culture. Would that apply for our future career goals? Do I want to be in the office 9 to 5? You have a lot of meetings going on. How do I kind of adapt to kind of that corporate work culture? But definitely that could be very, very different from, your time spending to study in the university or just like your freelance work. It's definitely very different. It's actually more kind of like a standard work base that you have to follow. And I feel like, yeah, like everything have like pros and cons. So for me, I do feel proud of myself having this first co-op term in second year, because then I can, just like gravitate, like no, not gravitate, like lean toward my future career goals and kind of evaluate my option right now. Or like, do I actually like the work I'm doing right now? Or should I switch to another concentration for some like finance, strategy, or international business to like go for another field, for example? Or I would just have to lean toward HR and accounting, for example. So it's just us evaluate our own option, our own doors when we, try more things before we graduate.
Yeah, I think that's totally, I totally agree with that, because I believe when we go out and we actually doing something, we will know like what if fit ourselves, and you will think
Right.
out like what you like to do later. Maybe you might like think out that you want to do like your position right now, or you might not, you
Right.
want to switch to another one. And also having someone like have some hands-on experience is very important. And yeah, because
Do agree.
yeah, I think business student, they will want to explore more about their field, about their maybe the things that,
Passions,
yeah, the
yeah,
fashion,
the
yeah,
hobbies, right?
what you want to do later. I mean, like you have a lot of concentration. We don't know really which one you want until you really do that. I mean, yeah, that's why when I heard Stella have this internship, I really like proud of her. Like, I mean, you did really,
Yeah.
yeah, you did a hard job to get this one, but also I'm excited because I have someone that I can ask about their experience in the real world. Yeah, so
Yeah.
have you
Agree. I feel like, yeah. I feel like if you have like a friend who already do co-op, like, try to ask them before you actually apply for your own co-op, because like they already know what's that for the interview process, what's that for the co-op job, what's very different from the work culture in the company versus your company, can I say that? So it's always good to reach out to someone who have like experiences, not just only you and me, but like you can reach out to lots of different friends or have like coffee chat with like senior students. You're like it's never hurt to actually learn a new learn from new stranger.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's a good tip.
that's what I'm doing right now. So stay tuned.
Definitely beneficial. Yes. Yeah.
So, how did you find out this internship opportunity in your field? Like, what's the process, like the story behind this one?
Right. I think during my co-op seeking term in SFU, which is the last one, the last term in 2023, I would try to go on LinkedIn or like every other new digital platforms that I could seek for jobs, which are like LinkedIn, Indeed, Workday, et cetera. But like there's a lot of like, platforms. You can go on Google and then just search for either your job title, your type employment, or just actually go on LinkedIn and search for HR recruiters. So there's way so many ways that you can, actually try to seek for the job. So what I'm doing for be what I was doing before is I go on Workday and I actually search for HR interns. But somehow I don't see a lot of HR opportunities at that time. So that's why I kind of lean toward my extracurricular activities, which is HR relations. I was like, that sounds like a very kind of another field in HR. If I'm not like wrong, it would be like another field of you outreaching to HR organization to maintain the relationships. So that's me, trying to do it's like HR communications. Oh, it sounds interesting. But they're kind of more like a bachelor of communication kind of things. I was like, should I try not? So yeah, that's me. I do apply for them, but I, to be honest, I did not expect them to, reply back to me. I have like a 50 application or so, but I feel like this one is the least expected of me receiving the offer because I feel like they're kind of finding more communication students versus business students.
Yeah. So you have like provide a lot of like platform to like searching for an internship. But
Right.
how the process until you get your first internship, like can I ask like how many application did you apply?
Definitely. Yeah. Like I just mentioned, I have like around 50, like 50 applications. And it's actually not a lot because like every single week since September to November, I just apply for around 5 to 6, but I kind of focus more on like, quality over quantities. So each of the application apply, I do write a cover letter for them. I do kind of research for the company and whether or not my skills, my past experiences aligning with the things that are the skills that they want to fill in their like their teams in the future. So we kind of have to, very thoughtfully select our, job to apply to. It's not like you see that this one have like a high salary. It has a bit like 2 or 3 skills that I would love to learn more, and I just apply for that one. Because then in the interview process, they could also ask what kind of skills, what kind of passion, kind of interest that you think you're core aligning with our team's values. So that's very essential for you to do more research before you actually apply for that job. So for the interviewing process, I think Sandra also mentioned it's around 3 to 4 weeks before they can get back to you. So don't feel down, but during that time, don't wait for them. Just actually open your doors to another, companies for them, like 20, 30 of them, and just wait for all of them to, reply back to us because it's not like 100% of them are gonna reply back to you, right? So yeah, it's me during that 2 or 3 weeks of waiting. I also apply for another one, but then I receive an email from the manager of my company right now. And then we just actually talk and have that interviewing process, and then not around 2, 3 weeks to wait for her response. So I kind of think like do not, just feel down if you don't receive like an early offer from them because they actually have like a lot of applicants going on that they have to interview and then get approval for which one that is like the best fit for their teams and ask for the budget to pay for their salary too. So it's also like a problem like internally. It's not just like you whether you are a good fit, but it's have to be for them to wait for approval and captains like that. So like yeah, just send them a follow-up email if you feel like you want to know for updates. But if not, it just have to wait.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for this advice because I really think that's really useful. So, I believe that like we should personalize each application. We try to put the effort and we try to show them like we really interesting in their company. And do you have any
Right.
advice to because I know some people they might struggle to make their resume or cover letter stand out because we are student, we might not have many experience. So do you have any advice to make your resume and cover letter to make it fit with the company interest?
I definitely would say for each huge. For example, if you're like a business students versus like communication students or interactive art students, you have like a different format of resume or cover letter that you wanna do for your companies. So if you're like a more like an art student, then your resume, your portfolio would be more like artistic, like creative. But if you're like more like a business communication students, your resume would be more like way formal and kind of a standard resume that you can find a Microsoft Word or just on, you know, Canvas. You can see a lot of designs that you can take for your reference on those cloud platforms. So for me, I use a Microsoft Word standard one. So because they have all of the bullet points from, you know, your overview, your background, to your educations, to your work experiences and interests and skills. So it's actually very, very standard and common to see in each of the resume. So for that one, is one of my tips is that you have to see which resume format I could apply for you most. Like could, you know, make your past experiences stand down to the interviewers. For cover letter, it's actually way more, not like complicated, but it's like a very optional. If you feel like you're not gonna, you know, spend 1 hour for each of the job applications like I did for you know, before, because it's actually not worth your time to actually send cover letters for each of the job. But it would be definitely worth that if you're like applying for a job that, for example, I'm a business student, but the job application that they require is for communication students. So you can see that a gap here. So what I'm did in the cover letter is actually I kind of brought out the experiences that I used to have before that kept co-aligning with their requirement. And then I kind of say, oh, even though I'm not a communication student, but I actually have some past communication experiences. And here's what how I achieved the goals of my teams before. So kind of make yourself stand out that, like, you know, we have that passion and interest of being like a part of their teams, you know, we don't have that background that they require.
Yeah, thank you for this amazing advice. And I believe that everyone of us will have their own way to make yourself stand out because we all have different experience. Yeah. And this is a side question because I already know that you get these opportunities by your school website. You apply through your school website. So have you ever attended any career fairs or networking event on your school or like outside the school?
Oh, definitely a good questions. I mean, like, yeah, just ask me a lot of questions. I feel like this one is a very good one for everyone to know. It's optional. It's not like in the past I did a lot of networking events and I actually meet a lot of HR recruiters. Because I think before, because I'm actually doing a lot from, you know, studying, working, and also have like extra career in SWU too. So I actually don't spend time to go to networking events a lot, which I believe that could be a big loss for me, because like if I actually go there and meet a lot of like HR recruiters or having like, you know, like like-minded peers that I could ask for, like just like you and me right now, as for interviewing tips, it would be much better and easier for me to actually applying for an actual job later on. So I do encourage people to, you know, actually go out to that HR recruiting event with your resume or just go into networking event to know people more, like different industries. So it's never hurt. It's around like 1 to 2 hours each event, around like, you know, after work or like after studying terms. So definitely not like a conflict to your schedule. But yeah, worth a
Yeah,
try.
I think going out to meet new people in from the different industry, you give you like different perspective about the job that you maybe the job that you want to apply for, because like they have like their experience and also they will provide you like informative, or maybe they like I believe that like if we can make a re meaningful relationship with them, it's really benefit you in the long goal. Yeah.
You actually can also ask them about, you know, how's your work culture, or like how do you perceive your work culture in your company. It's actually like a good tip to see like how people adapt to their company work culture, like for the very first 3 months they actually going in, right? So it's not about like only like resume, cover letter, or a job application. It could also be like kind of like personal question for someone like, how do you view your job right now, and how do you view yourself in the next 10 years, 5 years? Do you have any future plan candidate that if people are opened, they actually can share a lot to you during those kind of events?
So also they also give you the kind of like a picture of them, so you will know like what you expect, so you're not like too overwhelmed when you step in the real life. Yeah.
I agree. Yeah,
So
truly.
that's why I'm interviewing Stella right now.
Yeah, definitely. This could be like a virtual networking event or like coffee chat. I'm not sure about like other countries, but especially in North America, like the US or Canada, we actually have like a very good work culture called like coffee chat, where you can reach out cold calling on LinkedIn and actually ask if they have time for like coffee chat. It's actually work sometimes. Even like virtually, like in person, it's very worth the time that you can talk to people like already in the industry for like 5 to 10 years. Who knows, right? That could be your future connection, like your future HR recruiters or your future mentor. Like a lot of things that could happen.
Yeah, so back to the work culture. I know we are like me and Stella is international student. We came from like a different culture and different country where the working environment may be different from Canada, for example. So, have you ever like experienced any unexpected or extra like difficulty arose during your internship? Like the first time, I believe this is also the first time you have internship in a foreign country because we don't have like experience before in our home country. So I believe like it might be slightly different from what people from our age experience in Vietnam.
Oh, I love that question. I feel like even though I don't have experiences working in Vietnam, but actually, like, because we kind of like was born and raised in Vietnam, right? So we actually can know a lot of our culture over there. So, it's actually different, very different, because here in Canada, they kind of very value individualistic, or in Vietnam, we kind of more value of like group work, like collectivistic. So I feel like, yeah, there's actually a very different factors going on here. So for example, like if you work in a Canadian company, they would expect you, even your manager would expect you to be more kind of have like creative mind. So you have to work on your own hours. It's not like they're gonna give you advice all the time. You have to be able to show them that you already have done some work on your own first before you can ask questions. But I think I this is just my guess, okay? But if I talk to a friend who work in Vietnam, especially in a local company, it would be more like you will work alongside with your manager, or you guys would we definitely work in a group work more than just you working on your own and finish a project on your own. So it's actually kind of more pressure over here that you have to be able to do work on your own time, even if you have meetings or things like that, but you have to think a lot from yourself, not just from a group perspective.
So your next question is like, can I ask you about like how was your experience with the University Career Service?
So when I attended the SMU Co-op program, they actually provided us a lot of like services. For example, like they would also support you in doing like a mock co-op interview, or for example, they have like a lot of like resume and cover letter workshops in general that you can attend, and then you learn more tips on your own about how you can build your business resume. And like this co-op program in SMU, they actually have a lot of different type of things. For example, if you're like a communication or education students in SMU, you have like a different co-op program versus people who attended business co-op program, because each resume that they have, they would have like a slightly different format, like I just mentioned before. So I think, yeah, do try to attend those kind of workshops, because it's actually very, very, very useful for your own resume and cover letter building later on.
Yeah, I think they also provide us the detail also the information on the way how we can drafting our resume and cover letter
Exactly.
because
Yeah.
Oh, as the international student, I'm kind of curious because if we want to like attend the co-op internship, the co-op program, we have to also at the same time we have to maintain our full-time student. I believe like in US or in Canada they will have that policy. You have to maintain your full-time student status. While you're in the school, mostly international student, they require us to study at on the fall and the spring term, but we have the break in the like optional if you want to go to school on summer or not. It's totally optional. So most of people decide to attend the internship during like summer because they have the break and they also don't have to pay for the co-op tuition. So how do you think about that? The which one is the which one do you think like will be better for our internship?
Oh, it's actually very interesting. Because I think the thing that you touched on is our international student background. So we kind of have some slightly limitations compared to local student here in Canada, because like we cannot actually maintain our full-time student status if we work during the fall or summer or fall spring. For spring terms, because then we would have to be counted toward part-time student status. So it's really not good to be, applying for either PR or just like a work permit later on. So I just only speak from my experiences. I think definitely from a sophomore student with like not a lot of like co-op experiences before, I do want to try the co-op program because they actually support you, even though you have to pay tuition fee, but actually support you with a lot of, like resources of how international student can apply for the work permit for the, like an actual co-op work permit. So either you do intern or you do co-op during your study, you do have to have that co-op work permit. So to apply to be eligible to apply for the co-op job. So yeah, I do think that when I apply in co-op program during my second year, I have more like a higher percentage of, me being accepted doing co-op or like interns later on. Because for example, when you touch on that, we have to do internship in summer. It's actually very, very competitive because everyone can take the summer off. It's not like a full-time study term in summer, right? It's only like in spring and fall. So everyone wanted to work. Everyone wanted to take co-op and internship at that time. So you would have like a lower chance of us being like offering co-op like intern at that time. So why not try in fall and spring, right? I mean, it's still very competitive at that time, but it's not that competitive compared to summer term. Yeah. So I think it would be okay if you want to start early on, either fall or spring term with your co-op program, or I'm not sure if local student they can do internship during that term, because I'm not local. But again, international student, you can only do co-op at that time because then that will be counted at your co-op term in your university. And then you can still maintain that full-time student status on your work document, for example. So
Yeah,
yeah.
I think like maintain the full-time student status is really important, especially you have the
Exactly.
plan after that, like after graduation. So yeah, I think every one of us like we all want to have an internship like when we have the break, but I think just avoid like not to pressure yourself too much. So I think
Exactly.
getting internship during the fall or spring term also is not like one of the like good idea for that one. Yeah.
Yeah,
So
truly.
I think our conversation is like pretty details about how you kinda can get internship, also how to apply like some tips that Stella like gave us. And thank you for all sharing. I think like this really amazing and insightful. So I hope that our audience they can find this conversation as informative and inspiring as I did, because it's always like valuable to hear like firsthand experience. And yeah, thanks Stella for sharing your journey as well as your advice. I believe like moving to a new place and getting a job is really like a new chapter in your life. So
Yeah, I
I wish
agree.
you a lot of luck and continue to success with your goals. And I will come back with Stella in another episode if you guys want to hear more about her experience in her job and also about her internship. So just don't afraid to reach us to know about like what you want to know more, and I try to get Stella on the ball with me.
Oh, definitely. I think, like, please don't be hesitant to reach out to anyone who already have something ahead of you. I feel like, yeah, if I have a co-op job and I also wanna, learn more about, how to be getting the internship or like a full-time employee status later on, I will reach out to someone who already done that before. So I feel like it's not hard of you reaching out to like a stranger, for example, for like a cold coffee chat or something like that. So it's actually very worth your time for someone like me and Sandra already doing here. And yeah, I feel like sometimes Sandra also confused, like, oh, should I actually ask you those kind of questions? Because it's very like service level details, like high level details, not actually dive deep in, because for example she hasn't done co-op yet. But I feel like it's just the same thing. Like if you have co-op job and I don't, I would just ask you the same thing because I want to learn more from your perspective of like how do you apply for co-op job, how do you think about working in a corporate company, what would that be different from you being like a freelancer or having your own company, for example. So it's actually very good to have that different perspective going on. But yeah.
Stay tuned and wait for another episode. We're gonna go back if you guys want to do another episode about internship. So thank you guys for listening to this podcast, and I wish you have a really good day. Thank you, Stella.
Thank you.
Also, like, I really appreciate your time in on the weekend.
Thank you so much. Yeah, definitely a worthwhile.
Hey. Okay.